Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Sam, did you go to the football today?
No. Because I've got some sort of non-COVID flu.
Right.
So I was really gutted. Cool. I was looking forward to it all week. I had the whole day mapped out, getting there really early, going for a bit of lunch.
Yeah.
This, that and the other. And it didn't work out. I've been ill for the last couple of days. Now Len's got it too. So we woke up this morning and we were like,
nah,
I'm going to be able to go.
Yeah.
So watch it on the telly. I was already bloody miserable, mainly because I'm ill and it's just been a bad week. Yeah. And then it wasn't that tough. It was actually quite a good game. But the way it ended really hit me quite hard. So yeah. I just did what I had to do and just went immediately to bed.
To bed.
Fell asleep.
Just retreat within yourself.
Just exactly. Just literally shut my body down.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all you can do. I don't think people do think of that as a solution enough. I do all the time now. I'm like, you know when you're a baby.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know when you're a baby, you're like, you start crying, and people are like, going, "Gee, what's the matter? Why are you crying?" And you're like, "I don't fucking know why I'm crying. I'm a baby. This is all new to me.
I can't even tell you why I'm crying. You have to find out." Yeah.
It's like, think of it as a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. Find out what the matter with me is.
What's wrong with the baby? Is my teeth hurting? Have I shit my pants? I don't know. I can't speak. I'm a baby.
But you can still get that as a grown-up.
Yeah.
Where you don't feel quite right, but you actually don't know why. Yeah? You haven't got any fucking idea why. So you start like, so you have to go through a mental checklist, think maybe it's this, maybe it's that. The classics are hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Yeah.
Right?
Horny.
Halt. What did you say? Horny. Yeah, then it'd be halt. H-A-L-T-H. Do you need a Snickers? Do you need a sleep? Do you need a wank? Why not do all three in the order of your choice? Although I would say Snickers, wank, sleep.
Definitely.
And that way... But yes, very often I'm like, oh, I know what it fucking is. I just need a kit.
Yeah.
Just go and have a fucking kit. You wake up 10 times better.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I am desperate to get to bed tonight because I didn't get much sleep last night. I was up early this morning. I had a mince episode to do. I had some writing to do for it. And then I've edited it and now we're doing this. And I am fucking dead on my feet and I cannot wait. I'll be in bed by 9.
As the life of a podcaster goes... That's pretty tough shift
and
you put in.
It's a Sunday as well. The Lord's Day. Yeah.
Sunday podding. In many cultures, that would be like considered quite a bad sin, podding on a Sunday.
But not in Italy, because in Italy they do all the podcasts on a Sunday, don't they?
Yeah. Well, they see podcasts as a gift to the Lord.
Yeah, an offering.
They don't actually call them podcasts. Yeah. They call them God gifts.
Godcasts.
Yeah, God casting, yeah. And this will do the God casting. Not now, Mama. I'm doing the God casting.
Yeah. I'm talking to my friend from down the road. We do a podcast, a God cast all about our favourite biscuits. We love biscuits.
But it's about much more than that. We can go off on any tangent. It's very funny. You have to get into it, though. Like, you have to give it a few episodes.
So funny. It's so funny. We got listeners, yeah. Yeah, we got 76 listens last week.
Yeah, very good. But the important thing is only one listener, the big man upstairs, and we know he's listening.
So yeah, I'm so fucking ready for bed. But there's good football on tonight. There's PSG versus Lyon in the French.
Oh yeah, that's worth a watch. And what time's that kicking
that's
off?
That's 7:45. That'll be after we've done this. And there's Valencia versus Real Madrid as well. But I'm getting back to West Ham.
Is that
Ham
on Sky? Is that on Sky? Or is it BT?
One of them's on BT, I think. The French one's BT, and then La Liga is on the La Liga channel, which is now... I've just resubscribed to that. It's $7.99 a month, which is a lot. But I thought, you know, so eventually there's going to be a match on that I really want to watch. And tonight could be the one. So, I've gone for it. I've furnished myself with all the football this season. Getting back to West Ham versus Manchester United. Yeah. There were two things in that game that were absolutely nailed on to happen. And the first one was Lingard coming on and scoring.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can't believe I didn't put a bet on.
I know. Well, my mate, who's a Man U fan, he actually texted me yesterday and said he lives up in Manchester. And he went, "You ready for tomorrow? 2-1 United, Lingard to come off the bench and score the winner." He actually wrote that, right?
Yeah.
And I just wrote back and went, I could see he was trying to instigate some bants, an old schoolmate. Yeah. But I couldn't even instigate bants him. So I just said, yeah, that's a fucking certainty.
Yeah.
Right? And then that says it happened. What was the other thing that was guaranteed?
The other thing was Mark Noble coming on and not scoring the penalty. Coming on specifically to take that penalty.
As soon as he came on, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't, yeah. Yeah, you're right. As soon as I saw he was coming on, I just went to them, well, that's that missed. It was just like,
just
a charade. I mean, they could have got anyone to take it other than him. I mean, I love Mark Noble, and his penalty-taking record is sublime, but it was such an outrageous move by Moyes that it was doomed to failure, wasn't
it? Those things don't happen. You know, people don't come on. Look at the European Championship final with the lads that came on. For Southgate.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't happen.
I mean, it's a bit of a smack in the face to the 11 lads who are out there, right? That's the only, I mean, I hesitate to criticise Moyes because, you know, he's a bit of a god figure now, but there's like 10 perfectly good outfield players who could have had a fucking crack at taking that penalty.
Yeah.
And he's thought, nah, fuck those cunts. I'm sending you on to take it. Like, Declan Rice is there. What am I, fucking chopped liver?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but... and it had massive ramifications on the prediction leg. I don't know if you realised that.
No.
Because I'd predicted 2-1 to Manchester United. And you predicted 2-2.
So fucking hell,
sorry,
amazing.
Sorry, I have to tell you this. I'm sorry.
That would have been 6 points for me, wouldn't it?
You would have had 6 and I would have had none. And as it turned out, I got 3. And you got none.
And I got none. Fuck.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying. I have my little... I tried to sleep it off. And I do, you know, I was saying to my mate, although it's annoyed him, because he probably thinks I'm being way too rational. But I thought, do you know what? It's a really good game. And we went toe-to-toe with them. And it felt a bit unlucky. But, you know, we were without Antonio. And we'd played in Europe in a week. And I just sort of thought, yeah, they just nicked it. They took it 2-1. Of course Lingard was going to score. And I, fuck it, we move on.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to tell myself, because I've got enough on my plate, mate. I'm ill. I've got fucking... Yeah. I don't want to have a moan-up, but I'm going to have a moan-up. I'm ill, right? Mm. My throat is so sore. To be honest, it's been hanging around since Wednesday. But it's actually got worse. I kept expecting each day for it to go. And it's actually been getting worse each day. So I haven't been sleeping properly. I've got a really bad back, like a bad shoulder, and it's like not all knotted up, and that's been plaguing me for about a month.
Right.
No more, ever since I was even in the Isle of Wight. That's been getting worse. So in the end, I went for a massage on Thursday. But it was one of those Thai massages. Have you ever had one?
Is that the
they
one where you wank at the end?
They basically beat the shit out of you. No, unfortunately not. There was everything else. They just, she like, it's really violent. And she, like, was walking. She's only a little lady. She was walking on me at one point, stomping all over me upright.
Wow.
Pulling me hither and thither. And I was like, I came here to fucking relax. And I'm going, screaming in pain. And she's going, what are you like? And I was like, what do you mean, what am I like? I'm in fucking pain. You try it.
You're inflicting
it. So that wasn't good. That's just made it worse. That was already stopping me from sleeping. you know, they pulled my tooth out. Well, that massive gap in my mouth is now really sensitive, so I can only eat on one side of my fucking mouth.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. So that hasn't healed. And now with West Ham losing, it's been a shit week. But you've got to dust yourself down and think that next week's going to be better. Yeah.
Life has peaks and troughs, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You're never going to change that. Yeah. It's just about how you react to it, isn't it?
Yeah. You know that you'll come through it and you'll soon be hitting another peak. Won't be for a day or two, but you say it's definitely not COVID. Have you done lateral flow tests?
I've done lateral flow tests at home. I looked it up and I was looking on social media and loads of people going, why is the whole UK got a sore throat at the moment? So then I started looking more around on social media and it's like everyone's got these symptoms and everyone's testing negative for COVID. So it's obviously just some other rival flu.
Okay. Because just when I did test positive... I didn't test positive on a lateral flow. It was only when I did a PCR that I tested positive. But I kind of knew...
Well, I'll give it another couple of days and then I might go down, you know,
go down wherever they do it. Test hut.
They do it at the butchers now, don't they?
Yeah,
they go in the butchers and do it.
Yeah, they've parked a bus up down the road. They just do it on a bus.
Talking of butchers, I had some terrible news this week about Parmesan cheese.
Really?
Apparently, this is another thing. Yeah, just to compound all the other shit I just fucking been listing, I find out that Parmesan cheese isn't vegetarian.
It's not vegetarian. It's got meat in it.
It's not vegetarian. They've got meat. There is meat used in the fucking cheesing process.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, my wife found this out, and I said, I wish you hadn't told me. I don't know why you looked into it. I mean...
So you've been...
It was awful.
Yeah.
So I've been deprived of my favourite cheese because, I mean, well, it's up there with cheddar, but I love Parmesan, mate. I absolutely love it. And not just to grate on your pasta, I'll eat chunks of it.
I guess it's kind of got the same consistency as a Torah suet, almost, which, of course, is full of beef extract to make your dumplings with. It's kind of got a similar vibe to that. So maybe, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know, but apparently, like, she told me, and I thought this has got to be a wind-up, but I checked it out, and it's true. So, if I hadn't known, it wouldn't have harmed me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish she hadn't told me. I could have just carried on eating it, whatever. Now, in good faith, to go around claiming I'm vegetarian while scoffing all that lovely Parmesan's problematic. So, of all the things I've listed, the tooth, the back, the throat,
Parmesan.
The money, West Ham, Parmesan's almost the fucking worst of all of them. Because the other things, think of it this way, the other things, touch words, are temporary. Mm. Whereas Parmesan, that's it. Kiss goodbye to Parmesan for life, you can.
I guess there's no vegetarian or even vegan comparison, is there?
There is some vegetarian Parmesan-style cheeses that are not vegan. But they're not vegan, because no one wants a vegan cheese. That's why I'd never go vegan, because cheese situation.
My daughter's vegan. She has the vegan cheese. And I've got so much admiration for her because I've tried some of it and fuck me, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, this cheese isn't vegan. This is a proper cheese. It's bona fide cheese. It's just that they don't, they can't call it Parmesan because it doesn't have the meat extract in it.
Yeah, the beef.
That the Italians have put in. And now for the secret ingredient, beef.
Beef. Raw beef.
Beef stock. Now we've put in the cow's bollocks. Makes it taste extra primo nicer.
So, what else is going on? So, yeah, just the update on the prediction league at the weekend. We're now both joined top on 30 points. Because I got 6 and you got 3. And results, but I've got 0. If that's any consolation to you. But, shall we have a look in the mailbag?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Ali's. We did Ali's last week and we've had a little bit of correspondence from that. This is from Dan from the depths of the south, he says. And he says, the greatest Ali from my youth was one off Whitney Close in a village called Saltford. He said, I found a razzle in the bin and the centre spread was of some lass called... I don't want to read it out. I don't like the name. It's not PC. I'm not going to read that out. He says, I haven't kept it because it was 1986, but... it'll live for me forever. Yeah, I'm abandoning that email. Sorry, Dan. It didn't feel right. So I'm going to leave that one. This is the one that I think we might have read out before, and it might have been sent in before. This is from Paul Clifford, who is a pal of mine. He lives out in Dubai. Hope I haven't given too much information there. And this is pop star claims from topless town centre runner, brackets local character stroke bullshitter. Let me know if this rings a bell. He says there was a fella in South Shields, probably still there, who used to run around the town centre topless and wearing weightlifter gloves. He was well known around the town, always out around the pubs and wine bars of the town centre. That's right, South Shields does have wine bars. The weather there never warrants no top, but sometimes you'd see him near the beach, bench pressing massive rocks. But that's not the main thing. One day as we sat outside a pub, he came over to tell us that he was in the 90s soul pop band, the Pasadenas, of I'm Doing Fine Now fame. And he showed us a picture from his pocket as if to prove it. Needless to say, none of the band members' faces matched his a bit. But obviously, we just let him go with it. So, does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, I remember talking about the Pasadenas because my mate, I knew a girl who was the founder of their fan club.
That's right, yeah. I knew there'd been some Pasadena content on this podcast at some point. But maybe we got onto that from this email from Paul.
Maybe, maybe. Who knows what came first? Because it was that. And also, yeah, I know that I think they were from round my way because they did something at my school fair one year, I think. You know, obviously years after they were in the charts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why he's... what song does he mention there? The Pasadenas?
The Pasadenas. I'm Doing Fine Now.
I'm Doing Fine Now. But the tribute is the one. It's weird that he mentioned that because that's very much like a lesser single, a minor work. Tribute was the one that everyone remembers. And the beat was right on, right on. It was great, wasn't it?
It was, but I remember I'm Doing Fine Now more.
Do you?
Maybe it's a North-South thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it is.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Talking of North-South thing, and not to get too muso about it, but you know, like Northern Soul, right? And everyone goes, oh, yeah, Northern Soul. Yeah, I just love Northern Soul. It's a thing that people say. Yeah, Wedding Casino is great. Yeah. But, like, Northern Soul was, like, the sort of shit soul B-sides that didn't qualify for proper release by big labels and were just budget ones because they couldn't afford the proper ones. That's literally what Northern Soul was. It's, like, second-rate soul. That's what it should be called.
I can't agree with that. There's lots of good Northern Soul. I've got a few Northern Soul compilations. I mean, I never went to the Wigan Casino. I never threw talc down on the floor and danced all night in me slip-on shoes while high on amphetamines.
Not many people but it's like the people who claim they're at the Sex Pistols' first gig.
There's a lot of really good Northern Soul stuff. But like a lot of it wasn't on the major labels, was it? And it wasn't hit
that's
single stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was the distribution was different then. Doesn't mean that the music was less valid, I reckon.
These were bands that had been rejected by Atlantic or Motown or Kent or any of the other like big ones. And they're just like, yeah, so you can self-publish that. What's it called? Tainted Love. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to sell.
Who's your husband, love? Mark Bolan? What, the one out there? The little fella with the fucking corkscrew hair? You're making it up. Fuck off.
This sounds like bollocks to me. I'll tell you what I'll do. You can pay me to put it out as a single and I'll sell it up the market in a place called Wigan.
They'll dance the fucking anything up there, believe me.
Once they're high on amphetamines on a Saturday night, they'll dance through till dawn. Not only is your song a load of shit, you're also making up stories about who you're married to. Go on, fuck off. Do one.
This is a joke. Now, you can pay me £20 to press the single and another £50 to do some publicity shots that will be tasteful.
Ish.
And then we'll see. Most of them will be tasteful. There'll be a couple where I will ask you to push the limits
push of what the boundaries
you find to be comfortable. Your personal boundary.
Hey, it's the 70s. So that's what we're all about.
That's 40 now. Quid in total. And that's a big discount. And I will have seven lads and a lass in a dusty old nightclub in Wigan dancing to your record by the end of the month. I promise you that much.
That is my guarantee to you.
And if you're very lucky, in 30 years from now, they'll use it on a KFC advert.
There's another email which is entitled Ali Chat and Shitting. I'm not going to read that one out.
It's a good one.
Is it a good one? Is it?
It's just a good. No, it's just a good title. That's for an email. That's a good title. I'll read the one by Danny Pitt. We asked you for your confrontations with sportsmen we're sick of. On radio stations, they go, oh, what was the funny thing? Oh, you know, so-and-so helped me fucking mend my tyre at the side of the road, right? But we prefer confrontations with sportsmen. So Danny Pitt has written, I walked into Romford nightclub toilets, see Lee Bowyer trying to dry his wet trousers on the hand dryer. We've all had to do that before. Eye contact made. What are you looking at, cunt? Says Bowyer. Nothing, in Sam's high-pitched voice, says I.
Beeping Timmy. Nothing.
Turn around, leave toilet, forget to piss. Dan, that is a really top class email, Dan. It's not often I praise emails, but I love the way it's composed because it's so straight to the point. Yeah, it's really good. I would have forgotten to piss. I would have like, I don't need to piss anymore.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, cunt?
I like how he's submitted it as well. There's like a line space in between each line. It's almost like a haiku.
But, I know. This is how we want our emails. You will have a million times more chance of having them read out if they're. Because the other thing is, it's not that just we can't be bothered reading, is that it's like I always know if it's really long.
Mm.
I mean, you know, obviously I'm not a man known for my brevity. I admit that. But if it's really long, it's loads of words. I think this isn't actually funny. They've tried to dress it up in like fanciful storytelling. They fancy themselves as fucking Ernest Hemingway, right? And they fucking dressed it all up in loads of unnecessary detail. It's just like, this is the story we want. He's walked into the toilet. Lee Bowyer's clocked him. He said, what are you looking at, cunt? He's just left the toilet. Yep. Bang.
Story over. Brevity. Short and sweet. There's a one here from Rich. Age 47 and a half, and it's on the subject of bowls that we were talking about last week, favourite bowl. And he's put in brackets the cooking pot from hell. And he says, when you read out that blog story about reusing the family puke bowl for food, you reminded me of something I'd rather you hadn't. And then he's proceeded to tell us, and again, without going into the whole thing, it's another shitting story. And you can join the dots, you know, you can put it together yourself in your own mind. But I can't read that out either. Maybe it's because I've just eaten, but no.
Well, George, who's 41, 347 days old and claims to be Turbo, has said, if you want to upgrade to Turbo, then you've got a few more days before, well, what is it now? It's the 19th. You've got 10 days then.
Yeah.
To 11 days to subscribe and get your badge and become Imperial Turbo. Mm-hmm. The badges are en route. Anyway, he says, dear Sam and Andy, following on from your talk of shitting in public, don't remember that, but, oh yeah, there was that woman who shat
in
and
the
then
hedge.
Turned up in M&S.
Yeah, that's why I always send the shitting stories, because we fucking started it.
I was wondering what your thoughts are on pissing in public. My wife thinks I have a problem. If required, I love to piss in a hedge or behind a tree whilst out on a walk. I have also been known to piss on the edge of an A road or motorway with minimal cover, but penis definitely covered from other traffic.
Yeah.
Even the odd alleyway, I'll have a piss in. Is this acceptable, or do I need to stop? Kind regards, George 41. Well, I mean, you know, everyone's been caught short. It is one of the many advantages of being a male, is that when you need a piss, you can. If you really need a piss, you can basically do one wherever.
Yeah.
But I do think as you get older, it becomes a lot more, there's a lot more jeopardy. I mean, you know, you're 41, right? Mm. How old are you? 48 now, Andy?
49.
So, you know, when you cross that line into 50, the consequences of you being seen pissing in public, I would say, are far greater than
scandalous
than people. Yeah, because, like, say you're doing a piss in an alley, and the worst case, the most common time it happens to me pissing in public is when I'm out running. So I'll be out running and I'll need a piss, and you can't really complete the run until you've done the piss. So you keep jogging and you look for a piss spot, right? And I'll often be out in an area where there is trees and such like, and it might be quiet. So I'll find an appropriate tree and have a piss. But while I'm pissing, I'm so vigilant, because my worst thing, nightmare, is if a kiddie comes along. And then, of our age, is it, suddenly the kid's like, ah, that old man's got his cock out. And then, fuck it, what do you do then? Run?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you might have to.
All of a sudden, you're on a register. And then what do you do?
So that's what you've got to be careful of. And the only other, like, alarm bell in your email, George, is when you say, I love to piss in a hedge. So if they say, if required, so that in that sense, you're making out, well, obviously only if it's required, only if there's like nowhere else and I'm desperate, that's fine. But then you sort of contradict yourself by saying, I love to piss in a hedge. Well, which is it? Because if you love it, you're probably looking to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. If you love it, I don't love it. I'll do it if I have to, but I don't love it. I'd rather piss in a toilet.
It feels as though he's a little bit too keen, do you think?
Bit too keen. He says he's taking
precautions,
mate.
But
you want to get that seen to, mate. Yeah. Maybe go to the nut doctor or something and ask him what it's all about. Because
you maybe need some kind of bag attaching to your bladder.
It might be something. It might be something to do with his childhood. To be honest, I don't know.
Probably is. Yeah. So, the fact that he's emailed in and told us that, I suspect he's getting a thrill just from fucking telling us. Do you know what I mean? We should probably edit that out, because he's probably getting a fucking kick out of us. What
do you
think of
it, lads? Do you like getting your cock out in public? Do you? I fucking love it.
Go on, tell us all about it.
I was thinking, when you're on tour, if you fancy a bit of public pissing, we could all meet up and do it together in some woods or down an alley. We don't have to look at each other's cocks, but we'll know. We'll all know that we've got them out in the darkness.
If you're into it, tell me. If you're not into it, tell me as well, because that's just as good. For a different reason. Oh, but
if you're not into it, maybe I'll do it and make sure you catch me and then watch you being sickened and angry.
That'll make me want to piss more.
Mate, stop, unfollow us. Resign your turbo status.
Please.
You're scaring us, George.
Here's a good one. I won't read the title though, because it reveals what the story's about. This is from Mark Smith, age 48 and a half, Platinum IFS. Don't forget to upgrade to turbo now. Dear Sam and Andy, I'm a director / pencil neck desk jockey at Gateshead Council, and was recently asked to deal with a complaint from an elderly couple who aren't getting the support they needed during the pandemic. I asked my friend and colleague Alex to go and visit and find out more, to find out how I could help them, as they were skint, isolating and a bit stuck. He walked into the house and noticed the very large Frankie Goes to Hollywood relax sleeve artwork print on the wall, among several other incredible works. Now, if you're not familiar with the Relax Frankie Goes to Hollywood sleeve, Google it, have a look. It's quite distinctive. It's vaguely erotic. It was quite shocking when I bought it, aged 11. But there you go. He goes on. Turns out the woman in the house was Yvonne Gilbert, who designed the Relax sleeve. And Mark says, he says, being men of a certain age, 48 and a half, just a bit younger than me, we helped with the officious and boring stuff, but asked her about her experience with Frankie, etc. We wondered why she wasn't lauded, having designed this iconic sleeve, but she said it was a one-off fee of a few hundred quid way back in the mid-80s. We also learned she was asked to design some stamps by the Royal Mail, but it turns out they were a bit racy. legend. She's still freelancing and would love a shout out and some work if anyone needs a legendary illustrator. Maybe that cunt that was thinking about paying a publisher $3,000 up front for one. I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
And I tell you what, website. I'm always fucking using designers and illustrators for various things.
Yeah?
I will get in touch with her.
Well, a website, if anyone else is interested, is Anne Yvonne Gilbert, all one word, Anne with an E on the end, .com, and then /prints if you want to buy anything from our website. And then Mark says, adore your work, chaps. Thanks for everything. Yeah, nice one. Good stuff.
Thanks, mate.
I was just thinking that book of monsters is due out soon. World of the Unknown.
Yeah,
book
I'm
of
really
monsters.
Looking forward to it. Have you got that on pre-order?
I haven't got it pre-ordered yet. It just struck me because I just thought, is that out yet? And it's not. It's
yeah,
not
we really
out
need
the 30th.
To get it. I really enjoyed the ghost book so much, yeah, but the monster one I'm almost as interested in.
We'll get it pre-ordered at the end of the month, 30th of September. Whatever day that is,
great.
We might do a special episode. And
we call it Monster Day.
Yeah, 30th of September is Monster Day. What is the 30th of September? 23rd, 20th, 21st? Thursday. So the Friday episode that week, 31st of October, that's going to be Monster Day.
Yes, it's significant for more than one reason. Because it's your last chance to get your badge and enter the holy sanctum of being Imperial Turbo, which is a Turbo founder member.
Yeah.
So and the following day is Monster Day. So there's a lot going on. And I tell you what, we haven't yet flagged, but will be coming up soon in the run up to Christmas, which isn't that far off, is of course Brown Friday. You'll remember last year. We had Brown Friday, which was our equivalent of Black Friday, except it was brown and it was all discounts off special Top Flight Time Machine / Brown John merchandise. Mm. And there will be a big relaunch of our online store coming very soon as well. You can go on there now and there's a few nice bits and bobs. It's now on Redbubble, but you can find it via our website, which is tftimemachine.com. And if you want to visit it now, there is some new stuff. With a few new sort of ideas on, but very soon there will be a major relaunch in time for Brown Friday, which is always, I don't know about you, Anne, it's always one of my favourite days of the year.
Fucking best day of the year, mate. Better than my birthday and Christmas put together.
I don't know though, Monster Day, we haven't had that before, and Monster Day could become a new grand tradition.
Yeah. Tell you what, we'll wrap it up there, because the football's about to come on, and we'd like to dedicate this episode to huge cunter and member of the IFS Facebook group, Neil Brown, who sadly passed away last weekend, I think it was. Neil would regularly remind me to put the Roy the Rovers images on Twitter when I fucking always forgot. So that was always appreciated.
I hesitate to bring this up, but one of the many great things he contributed to the Top Flight Time Machine community, if you will. And I hesitate to bring up.
Go on.
He's still on Twitter. I mean, it's really sad that he passed away. But I had to chuckle because his profile picture is still an illustration of you in a Sunday shirt booting Michael Gove in the balls. I mean, that is a proper fan, mate. That is a proper fan.
It is.
Like, we're about a year and a half since that whole crisis. It was a crisis.
It was.
And he's still fucking keep. We diligently don't mention it anymore. But that mad bastard, right to the end, right to the bitter end, just before his flame went out, still had a picture of a cartoon Eddie Dawson booting Gove in the ball. Go on, my son. His attitude was never forget, never retreat, never surrender.
It's still there and will be for all eternity. So, rest in peace, Neil Brown. He was HMHB4Life on Twitter and big fan of the podcast.
Basically, everyone, like, can we press pause on the deaths for a bit? There's been a lot of deaths. Today we had Jimmy Greaves and Boycey both die, which is Cockney Geddon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, something in the fucking air at the moment.
There is.
We all need a cheer me up. Pick me up, cheer me up.
Well, that's it then. We'll be back throughout the week with all the usual shite. Hope you enjoy it. TTFN.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.